This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Round two of the U.S. Open is underway at Pinehurst number two. Your guy Tyrrell Hatton, though, three under.
He's signed. My guy.
We were talking about him earlier.
Because he's also a head case.
Yes, he likes to fly off the handle a little bit. He had a great quote yesterday. Something to the effect of, U.S. Open's great because everybody loses their mind at the U.S. Open, which brings them down to my level because I do it every single week.
I lose my mind every single week. He, earlier today, hit a shot. He dropped his club. He kicked his club, and the ball wound up 4 feet from the hole. It was a perfect shot. He's one of those guys.
Rory has two over today. Started the final round tied with Patrick, the second round tied with Patrick Cantlay for the lead, but now it's just Cantlay sitting there waiting for another 3.5 hours to tee off. One shot ahead of Thomas Dietrich.
But that's usually how long he takes between shots anyway, Patrick Cantlay.
And Ludvig Åberg are both one shot back. Bryson's one over on the day. He's two under. There's only like 15 players under par, and it's probably going to be even less than that at the end of this day, because that is a tough, tough golf course.
Yeah, it's the greens are just nasty. They're nasty.
All right, we were continuing even inside this room discussing the possibility of an extension for one of the Padres players, and that kind of evolved into Ha-Sung Kim trade talks. I don't think any of us really thinks that Ha-Sung Kim is going to be a Padre next year. And I know that's going to disappoint a lot of fans. He is a fan favorite. He's a teammate favorite.
Bro, he is so beloved in there. Toddy loves him. Manny loves him. Xander loves him. They all love him. I mean, that's the thing. If you had all the money in the world and you could turn like in dynasty mode on MLB The Show, you have Ha-Sung Kim here for the rest of his career. Straight up. It's kind of time to, I hate to have to pick and choose, right? And you can't keep everyone. I don't know how you afford him next year. And I don't know what he's going to command. But Adam brought up the comp of Dansby Swanson, who won a World Series for the Braves. He was a better, much better player in Atlanta and much more dynamic with the bat. Always has had a good glove. I think still has a really good glove. But he's making $26 million a year or something in Chicago. And the San Diego Padres cannot afford to hand out a $26 million per year deal to Ha-Sung Kim. They just can't. And Ha-Sung Kim's a better player than Dansby Swanson right now. It's not fair to him. You're not going to get him on $7 million a year deal.
I know people are going, there's no way Ha-Sung Kim's going to get that much money. Remember,
he's a shortstop in the big leagues, man.
There's a lot of teams that need shortstops badly and will probably overpay for him.
He's a good one.
Let me ask you guys a question. We don't know what happens behind closed doors, but do you believe they were shopping Ha-Sung Kim this past offseason?
Yes. I think yes. I think absolutely.
Agreed. My point is,
why didn't anybody jump?
But doesn't that tell you what the front office thinks? If they were shopping him, doesn't that tell you they
weren't going to sign him? It tells you that the price tag was pretty high, too.
Yeah.
That no one was willing to meet what AJ was asking. He asked, but he said, I'm not just giving him away. He's good. He's a good player. We still like him. I'm not trying to give him away, but
that they were worried
listen.
About re-signing him.
Well, Jeter said trade him before you lose him. You can't do it. You cannot trade Ha-Sung Kim.
If Xander Bogaerts was healthy and hitting like Xander Bogaerts and hitting 290 with 12 home runs right now, you could consider it.
Yep.
It's tough when you know you're not going to get Xander back until late July or August, and when you get him back, you have no idea what kind of offensive player he's going to be. So for now, Padres need Ha-Sung Kim. And by the way, he's one of the reasons they've been playing a little bit later and are above 500 now he's started to heat up and he's driving the ball. And for the most part, he's playing his good defense and occasionally makes a weird base running decision.
But occasionally makes a badass base running decision as well, like he did the other night. I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due. He's really, after a really slow start, has really come on lately. And I just, again, you can't lament. You can. But the grousing about signing a Xander Bogaerts, it just does you no good. You're locked in, man. It's wasted energy. It's already done. It's wasted energy. You got to find a way to be creative and keep the guys that you want to keep. But I do think it's a bit of a fool's errand to talk about, you know, extending anybody right now. If our focus is on making the Padres better this season, you know, that's what I'm interested in hearing. And I'm interested in hearing about who potential targets are. And again, just because there's a lot of smoke around Crochet, AJ could pivot a totally different direction. We've heard from Dennis Lynn. They're looking for a right-handed power arm in the bullpen, which would be fantastic. Not going to cost you an arm and a leg. Not going to cost you any of those guys you mentioned earlier. Will not cost you Snelling or Lesko or DeBreeze or Salas. It's not. You can go find a right-handed power arm.
AJ's wishing he didn't give Stephen Wilson up in the original deal with the White Sox.
Get him back.
Good.
Go get him. I mean, what's he going to cost you? They don't need him.
They don't need him. They got 17 wins this season.
Right.
Maybe 18 did they win yesterday?
They did, I think.
They have no use. They have really no use for anybody who's not part of their long-term plans. I mean, Stephen Wilson's got a couple more years of control at least. So, you know, they're not going to give him away either, I guess. But, I mean, there's guys to be had out there. If you want to join us for Take on Woods, 833-288-0973. We're going to play here in just a couple of minutes. What's going to hurt with Ha-Seong Kim if you don't trade him? Is there's a really good chance he's playing for one of your rivals next year.
Oh, he's a Giant or a Dodger.
Yeah, very sure. Likely. I mean, it makes a ton of sense for either of those teams. It makes sense for Ha-Seong Kim to stay on the West Coast with the Giants. He's got his best bud, Jung Ho Lee, who's already on the team with the Dodgers. There's familiarity there. There's a huge Asian fan base with the Dodgers already. They'll take Japan. Why not take Korea as well? It'll just be sad to hear all the Our Korean play-by-play guys now calling Dodger games and getting
Homer's
all excited. That's going to hurt.
Wesley says, unless Musgrove and you are not coming back, they don't need another starter. I couldn't disagree more, Wesley. I love you. But this team is always, 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 always in need of another starting pitcher, as is the Philadelphia Phillies, as is the Los Angeles Dodgers, as is the New York Yankees. Everybody could use another starting pitcher. The Padres are no different. No different whatsoever in that. So you and Joe are a bit of a question mark. Probably Joe more than you right now. But I think you absolutely got to go out and get another starter and get that power arm in the bullpen. And I'd be fairly okay, Benny, with letting the chips fall where they may on the offensive side of the ball right now. I do think pitching is where you need to have your focus.
You could get better offensively pretty easily without doing anything.
Yeah,
you're
correct.
Already getting better without doing anything.
Yeah.
Tatis is doing more. Kim is doing more.
Solano's doing more.
You still have Manny. Plenty of
opportunity for a ceiling there.
Untapped offense that we haven't seen yet. Bogaerts could come back and do more when he gets back. There's more offense to be had for the San Diego Padres. Jackson Merrill only seems to be getting a little bit better as he goes on. He may get tired at some point in a rookie season, never played anywhere near 162 games like this, and he's on pace for, 155 or 6 at this point. So, I tend to agree with you. If you can ride with the offense a little bit easier. Pitching, the lessons of 2021 cannot be forgotten.
And
20 as well. I mean, that was a short year and they ran out of pitching.
And
in 2021, when Vince Velasquez,
Jake Arrieta
were eating up
dark times,
important starts in the second half of the year.
And not many innings, by the way,
no.
From those guys. Those were dark. And I know there's been some dark days in Padres history. Those were pretty rough. Those are pretty rough. We expected a much better team that year, certainly.
And you say, well, that can't happen again. They have Vasquez, and you know they have Waldron, and they could have other pitchers coming back. They're a little close to the edge as it is right now.
Yeah,
because I don't think you can bring up Snelling and Lesko aren't ready. They're not even pitching well in the minors. There's no one else knocking on the door to be a starter. You are worried about inning limits, or at least innings soft limits for King. I mean, Morihone, I don't think they're thinking about him as a starter.
No, but you're still, in the bullpen, you're still worried about innings limits with him.
How much does Waldron have? What's Waldron's career innings? I mean, other than Darvish, your innings eaters were supposed to be Darvish and Musgrove, and neither of them are eating any innings right now.
It's truly, when you put it like that, it is like, all right, it's pretty crazy that we're even two games over 500. I mean, with zero contributions, really, from those guys. Not a lot. No, certainly not
pitching's consistent. Pitching is the need.
Yeah, pitching is the need.
All right, we'll come back to some more Padres talk a little bit later. Right now, I see some callers on the line. Let's get to one final game of the week. It is time to take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
So, Joe, you are a contestant today. Thank you for calling. Thank you for playing. How are you?
Morning.
All right. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Woods has left the studio. You'll go first. Five questions of musical trivia. Woods will go second. If you beat or even tie him, we will put you into our grand prize drawing for a two-night stay at the Fontainebleau Las Vegas. Tickets to either Hootie and the Blowfish or Smashing Pumpkins at the Blue Live Theater and a $150 poolside dining credit. Summer room packages, tickets available now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. All right, you get to choose the category, Joe. Here are your options. It's not false. Think of what the opposite of false is in that category. It ain't nothing. Those are song titles that begin with the word something. And She's a Lady. Those are five song titles that start with she's. So it's not false. It ain't nothing. Or she's a lady. Joe, what would you like to play?
It ain't nothing.
It ain't nothing. Okay, so we got song titles. They all begin with the word something. You'll have 60 seconds. If you don't know an answer, you can say pass. We can come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question is our two-second song. Adam's going to play a little bit of music. You need to try to identify both the song title and the artist to score that point. Joe, are you ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
Adam, you ready? All right, category, it ain't nothing. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Adam plays our music. Good luck, Joe. Let's take on Woods.
Pass.
In 2017, the Chainsmokers and Coldplay teamed up to release which top 10 hit?
Pass.
Which 1991 Nirvana song re-entered the Billboard charts in 2022 when it appeared in the movie The Batman?
Something in the Way.
Correct. Which Etta James classic is sampled by Flo Rida in their hit Good Feeling, as in a feeling I never, 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 never had before? Tim McGraw fondly recalls an old crush with a barbecue stain on her white t-shirt in which country mega hit from 1999?
Something like that.
Correct. Go back to our two-second song.
The next one.
In 2017, the Chainsmokers and Coldplay teamed up to release which... All right, you did get two. Oh, just after the buzzer, it is Something Just Like This. You got two. It's a tough category. I don't know. It could keep you in play here. So the two-second song, well, actually one of my favorites. It's Something About You by Level 42. You got Something in the Way and Something Like That. Something's Got a Hold on Me is Etta James / Flo Rida. So, all right, we got Woodsy coming in. Joe's score is locked in. Joe, put you back on hold, and we will come back to you at the end if you are a qualifier. All right, 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods doesn't get the category. Your time begins when Adam plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Joe.
Something About You. Pass.
In 2017, the Chainsmokers and Coldplay teamed up to release which top 10 hit?
Pass.
In 1991, which Nirvana song re-entered the Billboard charts in 2022 when it appeared in the movie The Batman?
Nirvana song? In Batman?
Mm-hmm.
Come As You Are.
Incorrect. Which Etta James classic is sampled by Flo Rida in their hit Good Feeling, as in a feeling I've never, 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 never had before?
At Last?
Incorrect. Tim McGraw fondly recalls an old crush with a barbecue stain on her white t-shirt in which country mega hit from 1999?
I'm like Wandy Peralta right now.
Mm.
I don't know.
Has this ever happened? Let's go back to our two-second song.
You got the title.
What's the band?
Oh, my God.
The category might help you at this point.
Wow! Is that an ofer? First ofer ever?
Shutout. I don't think Woods has ever been shut out. Joe, 2-0. Congratulations on the win. Category was called It Ain't Nothing. Every song title started with the word something. So okay, you got Something About You by Level 42.
Oh,
it's a one-hit wonder. Yep. Something Just Like This by Chainsmokers and Coldplay. Come on, you know that one. Something in the Way is Nirvana.
Love that song, too. I did not know it was in that movie.
Something's Got a Hold on Me by Etta James, and that's the
Does Etta James sing At Last?
She does.
She does, okay.
And Something Like That from Tim McGraw. Congratulations, Joe.
You know, my changeup was up. My fastball was...
Sometimes it happens.
Coming out of the flu.
Yeah, whatever.
Been up since 1 a.m. No excuse. I'm not going to alibi any of that, though. That was
Aaron Nola gave up 11 hits and 8 runs. And
embarrassing.
3 2/3 yesterday. It happens to the greats.
Is that history? Have I never been shut out?
I don't think you've ever been shut out in this game.
God.
Joe, hang on line. Adam will get all your information during the break.
I'm embarrassed right now.
Crazy on a Friday, too.
Yeah.
Oh, Don't Do This has already started, apparently. We'll continue it next.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com, take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thekrafttaco.com. And a special doo-doo thank you to Craig Elston.
A doo-doo thank you?
A doo-doo this thank you.
You said a doo-doo thank you.
That's true. DD mega doo-doo.
The worst kind of thank you you can get.
I was kind of asking, like, how many innings does Matt Waldron have in him? Because he's going to be well over his career high on the major league level. But Craig texted me and said, last year, if you combine his AAA and major league innings, threw 134 innings. So he can
build on that.
He should be pretty much able to go a full season for the Padres this year. Now, knock on wood, stay healthy, cross your fingers. But that's why he's been such an important addition to the Padres this year. All right, Woods, you get us started with Don't Do This.
All right, this is a little bit visual, but something happened last night. There's that saying in baseball, be humble or you will get humbled. I don't know if I've ever seen a better example of this in my entire life. Gentlemen, for it's the Gwinnett Stripers taking on the Memphis Redbirds, I believe. And they are down, you know, playing minor league baseball, and Memphis is leading 3-0. Number 5 steps to the plate, and this happens.
Count 2. 1-1 pitch. Perez launches this one out to left center. And the wind, my goodness, going to knock it down.
He thought that was gone.
So did I. Molloy makes the catch.
So,
not
the first time a guy has hit one and thought he had it. Might be the first time a guy has gotten all the way to third base and passed third base before he realized, I actually didn't get it. He hit it.
I want to hear the rest of the call.
It's not great. It's just, go ahead. You can
play the rest
of
them. They said what he did, right?
Yeah.
Just one out to left center. And the wind, oh my goodness, going to knock it down.
He thought that was gone.
Yeah,
so
did
I. Molloy makes the catch. Perez, I think.
Still running.
Still thinks it's out.
Yep.
Oh,
he's
going
around the bases.
He thinks it's gone.
Yeah.
He
gave like the I love you sign after he hit short, you know, right around shortstop. Gave the, I got it. Hit third base, was trotting.
Who's supposed to tell him when it's not gone? You're supposed to put your head down and go. I mean, you know, I'm supposed to watch and admire.
Now, he hit it, and he pimped it. He pimped the S out of it.
It looked like it was gone.
And it did. I mean, he got all of it, but the wind knocked it down, and it was a good 20 feet short of the guy did not make a play on it. I mean, he didn't have to climb the wall or anything.
So the outfielder did. He turned his back for a second. The old,
this thing's so far gone.
And then
he's
by the time,
on the dirt, the very front edge of the dirt when he gets it. So he's about 10 feet from the wall. And he hit third base before. It was after he hit third base he realized, I didn't get it. A little embarrassing. going to get worn out for that.
Yeah.
For the rest of his for the rest of the week,
yeah,
for sure.
All right, for my don't do this. This is a story I kind of remember from a little while ago. It was back in January of 2023 that former quarterback Bernie Kosar for the Cleveland Browns lost his job as their pregame show host. And I remember there was some, like, it was like a gambling thing or something, and I didn't give it another thought. Until now, when the story has come out, Bernie is actually suing because the reason he lost his job, according to this lawsuit, is that he had a deal on the pregame show that with a company called Big Play LLC. And part of the deal was Kosar was supposed to make a charity wager. And he was supposed to bet $19,000 on the Browns to beat the Steelers. And then if they won, the money would go to charity. If it lost, no big deal. It's not his money. It was just kind of a symbolic, let's do this to try to have fun and maybe raise some money for charity. But because he gambled on an NFL game and that was at odds with like the radio contract, you're not supposed to gamble on the teams that you're covering, they fired him. And Bernie's going, but it wasn't my money. It wasn't. I had no chance to win or lose.
Yeah, I was not.
I shouldn't be fired for this. I was just really doing my job and trying to raise money for charity. I was trying to do a good thing.
Ooh.
And he ended up losing his job because of it. He's seeking more than $900,000 in damages.
Is that even
is that what pregame show hosts make now?
Yeah, is that what they're making?
Sammy making
$900,000? Sam Levitt? Good Lord.
No, that's way too low.
God. Actually, Sammy would be worth it. Sammy works hard enough to earn that kind of money, certainly. Is it even black and white?
There's a little gray here.
There's some gray. Hey, don't bet. Okay, I didn't. Well, you placed this wager.
Are you betting? If it's not your money.
Are you betting?
And you can't win, and you can't lose. Are you really betting?
it feels like it shouldn't be that much of a conundrum. Well, it says here in the rules you can't bet, but I didn't.
I mean, if you go to the Super Bowl and like radio hosts do it all the time. Hey, we'll bet fish tacos in San Diego against your clam chowder in
New England.
Boston.
We don't have a team, so
we don't have
work.
A team. But
so
then fine in the World Series when we play the Red Sox, we'll
right.
bet fish tacos against clam chowder. Is that betting or is it not betting? It's just fun, a fun radio segment and bit that they're doing.
But we're allowed to bet. I hope.
I don't know. Maybe we're not. We're flagship station. Maybe
you're not allowed
to bet on Padres games. Have you ever bet? You've never bet on a Padres game, obviously.
What kind of dummy would put their hard-earned money on the San Diego Padres 4 to 5 times a week?
Well, you're not on the pregame show.
Correct.
Now you can never put him on the pregame show, Adam, though, unfortunately.
Darn.
So.
Not a team employee.
Not a team employee.
Maybe Bernie was a team employee. I think
that's
maybe the
it.
Difference. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably
it. Team employees prohibited from placing bets.
All right, even if they're fake bets that
even
can't win
bets,
you any money.
Apparently, yes.
All right, let's get to doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
I think Kelly sent this over to me this morning and said, would love your guys' thoughts on this. And I said, I like Brooks Koepka. I'm a Brooks Koepka fan. He's very surly. He's kind of bitchy. Reminds me a lot of myself.
Traits that I particularly appreciate.
Well, especially in a golfer. You're more of a Patrick Cantlay guy.
Scotty Scheffler. Very pleasant.
Yeah, very pleasant guy. Even though he's been arrested.
That's a good point.
Right. Yeah. Won nothing. So this is great. So he had, even par 70 in his opening round. He had 3 late bogeys, though. So he declined media interviews after this first round. And people obviously thought, well, so the round gets away from you and you don't want to talk to the media. That's kind of a D move. So he decided, one of the reporters, Eamon Lynch decides, I'll just text him because I've got his number. He says, you opted not to do media interviews in the first round. Why? Because I opted not to do them because I didn't feel like it. Same questions every week. The lack of creativity with questions is kind of boring. I know I'm not a media favorite either, so it's not like anyone will notice, LOL. And then Eamon says, well, how creative should questions be when asking someone about a round of golf? Is this just your bulletin board material for the week so you can fire yourself up? He said, no, it's not. It's a major. I've got enough self-motivation. I can think of way more creative questions. Do you think the course is borderline? What happened on those bogeys? What went well? Then some live versus PGA Tour questions? And so they go back and forth for a while. I actually thought it was brilliant. And what did he say? He said, Yeah, so then basically Amos starts asking the questions. Any issues with the course setup today, or do you foresee any problems with the heat coming? I thought it was good. I don't see any problems if greens stay the same. They go back and forth, and it ends basically by him saying, look, I just didn't feel like doing it. I just didn't want to
which
do
is
media
fine.
And, today.
And he did a text interview. And
which
maybe
is great.
Maybe that would be easier. You know, if Mike Schilt wants to do a text interview today at 9 o'clock, maybe we try it that way. I guess why I don't like this is that Brooks is mad because the questions are unoriginal and uninteresting. But when you try to make them original and interesting, then the subject sometimes will
he gets kind of pissy.
They'll get kind of mad about it.
Yeah.
You know, to do your job in the media requires you sometimes to ask boring questions.
Oh, don't we know it?
Because you have to let the person have their own chance to respond to whatever's happening. And you may not get a good answer, and that's fine, but you may be surprised and get a great answer from something that you just ask kind of the regular questions. You kind of have to go through those regular questions, and then maybe after you hear an answer, then you can follow up with something more interesting as you go along. But it kind of has to start with the normal, boring questions
so
to begin with.
The end of it was great. They're talking, and Eamon says, well, we can test that theory tomorrow. Creatively, of course. Brooks writes back, you're not creative. Y-O-U-R. Eamon writes back, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. Brooks responds, thanks, Dad. And that's the end of the interview. I thought it was fantastic. And I've always been a big fan of Brooks. I am. I know he's surly, but I like that about him.
He's real.
He's an interesting, I mean, yeah. For golf, like you get 50 of the guys that are the same guy, basically, and then you get one that's a little bit different. I like him.
He tees off in a couple hours, as you said, even par for the day. By the way, Scotty, 3 over now. It's the first time all year in any tournament he's been 3 over par in anything. So, not exactly. He's more on the cut line than the leaderboard
Scotty?
At this point. Yeah.
Ooh, where is he?
He's tied for 60th at 3 over par after a couple of bogeys. He's 2 over through 10 holes today. So, he better not have a bad back nine, or he won't even be around for the weekend. It will be a huge shocker.
I'm not rooting against him because he's hard to root against, but I'm also not going to be mad if he doesn't win this tournament. I think it'd be fun to see somebody else win it. But he has been dominant. He has been very dominant.
Xander has moved into the top 10, 1 under today, 1 under for the tournament. So he's still alive for 2 straight major titles. And that's Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
An off day in New York is a little bit different than an off day anywhere else for a Major League Baseball team. You can just do more interesting things. For instance, did anyone see what Jeremiah Estrada did on his off day yesterday in New York City? We'll get to that coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Maybe. Off day in New York City.
Well, I'm
watch Sports Center.
No, I'm taking advantage of the dining scene.
What if you had a game that night? You're not going to go suck down a bunch of.
No, you said an off day. So
okay, so yesterday
on an off day yesterday, I'm definitely checking out. You know, the bagels and cream cheese, and New York City pizza, and then a nice dinner somewhere at a high class Manhattan restaurant. I'm assuming I'm making a lot of money because I'm a Major League Baseball
so
player.
You're just on her eat. You're on your Eat Her app.
Yes, exactly.
All day, finding the best bagel,
mm-hmm.
then the best pizza,
yep.
and then the best dinner.
Yeah, that's my plan.
That's it. What do you do between?
Walk.
Just walk.
Yeah.
Walk the city.
Walk the city.
What about you, Kluger? Find a ESPN Sports Zone.
I'd say same thing. I used to work in New York City, so you know, I've been there. But yeah, walking around, going through the park.
Where'd you live when you lived?
I lived in New Jersey, but I commuted into Manhattan for 5 years.
Took the train.
How many fake watches did you buy on Canal Street?
Zero.
Surprises me.
You think I'm that kind of guy?
Well, I used to do that. We used to do that all the time. Go up there and get the fake tags and the fake Rolexes. It lasts like 3 weeks, but it's always fun to do. We used to buy in New York City. I always got a kick out of walking down the street, and they had like all these movies that you could buy. And you could buy them on, I think it was VHS at the time. You're like, dude, yes, look at this. This
movie's the ones where they went into the theater
correct.
And camcordered
well,
it. And
but when you're 12, you don't know that. You just think this is a bootleg copy of what was a hot movie when we were 12, Ben. I would, you know, buy it, give the guy like
the
20
Goonies.
Bucks. No, that was way before that.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, something that was even That came after we were 12. But something that was like out in theaters, you're like, oh my God, I can get this on the street, a bootleg. You give the guy $20, you take it home, you put it in the VCR, and it's him sitting in the theater with a camcorder, and you can hear nothing and see nothing. And, you know, you learn.
But we were 10 when the Goonies came out, we're not 10? 12.
Yeah.
But.
So you feel it's like your first lesson into not being a mark. Like, everybody has to go through it, but then you're like, all right, I'm not doing that again. You learn. You live and learn.
So, yeah, there's a little more to do on an off day in New York City than probably
Cincinnati.
Your standard Cincinnati, St. Louis road trip. Jeremiah Estrada took big-time advantage of being in the Big Apple yesterday, though. What did he do? Find out after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Davick.
Traffic is sponsored by Viejas Casino and Resort. Some of you out there are saying, come on, Kelly, give me some good news. Okay, I will. Speeds are starting to pick up now on the Coronado Bridge heading over to the island. Yeah, that police activity wrapped up a little over half an hour ago, and that motorcycle accident in the clearing stage at mid-span. So yeah, improvements there. Still a bit of a backup, though. And heading off the island, you're not going to have any problems. Fortunately, no other incidents or accidents to mention. Cordell and Cordell traffic cam shows even the trip out of Santee, westbound 52, just some minor slowing. The daily jackpots at Viejas Casino and Resort are on fire. Players have hit huge wins with bets as low as 50 cents. Check out their jackpot winning smiles on the Viejas Facebook page. Want to join them? Who knows? The next jackpot winner could be you, Viejas Casino and Resort. I need to get back out there. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Wood, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
In this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair now through July 7th. The magic of the Midway live concerts and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets online. Learn what's happening at sdfair.com. That's sdfair.com. So I think, kind of like Adam, Jeremiah Estrada spent his off day in New York, actually in Secaucus, New Jersey. Isn't that where the MLB Network studios are located?
I thought it was Secaucus.
Secaucus, New Jersey. I thought it was Secaucus.
I thought it was Secaucus. Adam, you tell us.
Secaucus.
Secaucus? Okay. I've always heard Secaucus.
And went to the MLB Tonight set and sat down with the MLB Tonight crew for a couple of segments. A long interview, sat at the desk. With Pedro and Greg Amsinger and Harold Reynolds were there, just kind of finding out his story, you know, where he came from. Kind of, for most people, including a lot of Padres fans, Jeremiah Estrada is an unknown quantity. Where did this guy come from? Why was he designated for assignment last year and all of a sudden breaking the all-time record for consecutive strikeouts this year? That doesn't usually happen. If a guy has that much talent, the team that he was on before doesn't just let him go.
I mean, especially a team like the Cubs that, you know, what team doesn't need a Jeremiah Estrada on it? It doesn't make
any sense. So it's a fascinating story. And he's got this this pitch, which he explained to Pedro Martinez in great detail. They went on to their little mini baseball diamond set where they started throwing some pitches to Harold Reynolds and working on the grip with Pedro.
The chitter.
The chitter, yeah, the change-up splitter combination with his it's like a forkball, the thumb's not even on it, and it's the pinky on, and he was trying to show Pedro exactly how to do it. Pedro goes, this feels weird.
It looks impossible to throw, and you cannot believe he throws it for strikes. It is truly, it's like the Vulcan change, but it's different. It's just, I don't get it. I could never do it. I could never throw a splitter. I could never even throw a splitter like in messing around with my buddies. I can't imagine putting them between your middle finger and your ring finger and jamming the ball through there. It was incredible to watch last night.
But he said, even in the studio on a half speed, he said, getting some movement, and Pedro was getting some good movement.
It's nuts. Those guys are freaks,
on the
man.
Chitter.
They're freaks.
So there were a few questions they asked him. And as we have learned, Jeremiah Estrada has always been a big gamer. Big fan of video games and spends a lot of time when he's not on the baseball diamond playing video games. And they actually were fascinated by this. Here's what he had to say about his love of MLB The Show.
Interesting. We're here with Jeremiah Estrada, the setup man of the San Diego Padres, joining us as a special guest in studio tonight on MLB Tonight. You knew that he's a good low ball hitter. Mm-hmm. At what point, and maybe you already did this, when you showed up here in New York, you're taking on the New York Mets this weekend. When do you guys meet and go through what your opposition this weekend, what their tendencies are at the plate? Has that already happened, or will it happen tomorrow?
It will happen tomorrow. Usually, you know, of course, like we all have our pitchers meeting and just go over, like, you know, the power parts of like where the hitter is, the hot zones, where that is. But I'm not going to lie. The reason why I know he is a good low ball hitter is because of MLB The Show and because he's one of my favorite cards. Most of my hits and home runs with his card are always on the low pitches.
I'm telling you, the video game is giving him his intel.
Well,
yes, that is factual. They play.
So
they
do. Be honest. When you're on the mound, have you ever thought about MLB The Show? Like when you're facing a guy?
No. I won't give it to that.
You won't get that deep.
No, never.
We're going to put you on the cover. Keep talking, man.
This is interesting. I'm into
this. It is really interesting.
But I've heard some guys who use MLB The Show as like, oh, yeah, his hot zone or his cold zones, the low and away heaters or low and away. And like some people will say that. Even my buddies that I play with, you know, they're always like, hey, you're going to face, you know, whoever, Judge this weekend, you know, his cold zones away and the slider. I'm like, okay. And the next thing you know, I went fastball, change of fastball. That was it. And
look,
I didn't
about
the slider. So I was like, and that's my buddy's favorite player, too.
Look about new generational players.
Yeah, but
talk about being young and new generation. That's good, though, that you guys are at least paying attention to the little details. Yeah. And that's one that I wasn't expecting, but hey, great for you.
I think what it does, though, and honestly, this is, I've heard this from a lot of ball players that played in the 70s and 80s, and they said one thing that the players of today are missing, like all of them, to a man, said after a baseball game, we would play, no matter what team they played for, the Reds, the Phillies, the Pirates, didn't matter. After the game, they would sit their asses in the clubhouse for like an extra 2 hours, and what they would do is they would talk about the game. How did that go?
What and drink beer.
And drink beer and blast heaters and stuff, but if you... They have all said that's something that's missing from the game. I honestly believe that things like this probably helps keep them engaged in baseball a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
They're
talking about the game.
You can question. I mean, how accurate are the video game hot zones? I mean, but they're based on some reality.
Yeah, of course,
I mean, you know, they have access to the same hot and cold zones, the Major League Baseball teams. I would hope the Padres' actual analytics are a little more detailed and a little more insightful than just playing a video game. But why not? As the start of your base of knowledge, I've played a guy many times on MLB The Show, and I know at least where the video game says he has trouble hitting pitches.
Yeah.
So, you know, guys can't just change their hot zones on a whim. You know, a guy doesn't hit the ball, you know, high and tight very well. You can learn that just based on playing the video game.
Yeah, 100%. So I think I thought that was really interesting. I thought he did a really, really nice job on there last night.
He's
very personable. What's the other clip you have, Adam?
He talks about just kind of his story about where he's coming from.
How he got here.
Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating. Whenever you're ready.
He's giving the signal. He wants you to vamp for a second.
I didn't see a moment
to call up the clip.
So we just wait in silence.
Right.
Can't believe you're doing this to me.
Likewise.
I wouldn't have been able to do this.
Question for you, so here we're going to get into it. What kept him motivated to be better, to better himself after last year? Also want to say, very glad he's a Padre. The way he interacts with the fans shows how much he cares. Okay, that's very nice, Zachary. Thank you. All right, so what is your motivation?
Failure. You know, I think that's the biggest motivation that you could have. You know, of course, last year was a bit of an upset year for me. And, you know, I take failure just extremely, you know, to the heart, you know, and as soon as I fail at something, I want to be better at it. If I'm gonna lose at something, I mean, right now, if I lost in rock paper scissors, I'll tell you behind stage, hey, let's run it back, I need to win.
Wow.
So,
what was your path to the big leagues? That comes from, you had some setback, obviously.
Oh yeah, lots of setbacks. You know, drafted 2017, pitched 5 innings that year, and then 2018 came along, getting ready to start the 2018 season, and sprained my UCL. They were like, hey, you're young, so you can miss this year. I was like, okay, you know, I'll rehab it, go on, and then missed an entire year. Didn't even go home because as soon as season ended, I just started the spring training camps or the camps leading to spring training.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2019 was kind of feeling better. Then went to Eugene, Oregon, pitched 10 innings.
No doubt.
And
just say.
And then that's when I tore my UCL, and then they kept me there to rehab and to kind of like throw again, and then ended up getting TJ in August, And then,
so 2 years gone.
Yeah, 2 years gone, just like that. Then I was locked and loaded. I got a trainer, was ready to, you know, I was just motivated, you know. And then 2020 got canceled. And then 2021 started off in Myrtle Beach, but they had me go a little bit later because that was the year coming off of TJ. And I pitched 7 innings, and then I got COVID. And then after COVID, after COVID came back in 2022, and I knew, I mean, after surviving COVID, what I was meant to do, which is, you know, like, hey, like.
So you had long COVID.
Oh, yeah, that was.
10-day deals.
Oh, no, I was in the hospital. I had every single thing that you could have gotten.
Yeah, you almost
died. The doctor literally told me, he's like, hey, you've gone like every stage on what a COVID or a person that has COVID could have gone. The only thing you missed out was death.
Unreal.
So it was a scary moment, you know.
First four big league season or minor league season, professional baseball season, he pitched a combined 17 innings. 17 innings in 4 years.
And now I know why.
That's unbelievable.
Actually,
22
innings.
Four seasons, 22 Amazing. Innings, and look at him now. It deserves all the the accolades.
At some point you're thinking, okay, someone's telling me that I shouldn't be a baseball player after all of that.
Yeah.
And yet he persisted, then got DFA'd by the Cubs after finally, you know, making it, and they didn't want him. And now here he is with the Padres as a rising setup man with a Major League Baseball record and a pretty bright future ahead of him as, you know, potential maybe a closer in the future. You know, if things keep going the way they're going for Jeremiah Estrada.
They were trying to bust his balls, too, when the segment started about Schilt making him walk.
Who was intentional the, yeah, walk intentional walk. And the streak.
Yeah. And he handled it perfectly. He's like, I mean, Schilt told me to do it. I did it. I don't, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of like what Tatis said. Like, we'll just start a new streak. Like, we'll just run it back. But he didn't really. He didn't. They wore him out. Every one of those guys was like, why'd you have to do the walk? Why didn't Cease do the walk? And he's just like, it's all right. It's what the manager asked me to do. Seems to be a really good kid, man, and obviously can overcome adversity. What a story. Great story.
Amazing stuff. All right, we'll come back. We'll start the second half with our Cespedes Family Barbecue Friday. Jordan Schusterman will join us. We'll talk about what's going on around Major League Baseball.
He's excited to talk about one Jackson Merrill.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm excited always to talk about Jackson Merrill. That is coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Maybe. What would you guys do on a off day in New York City? Watch SportsCenter?
No, I'm taking advantage of the dining scene.
What if you had a game that night? You're not going to go suck down a bunch of...
No, you said an off day. So
okay, so yesterday.
On an off day, yesterday, I'm definitely checking out, you know, the bagels and cream cheese and New York City pizza and then a nice dinner somewhere at a high-class Manhattan restaurant. I'm assuming I'm making a lot of money because I'm a Major League Baseball
player. So you're just on your Eat Her app
exactly.
all day, finding the best bagel,
mm-hmm.
then the best pizza,
yep.
and then the best dinner.
Yeah, that's my plan.
That's it. What do you do between?
Walk.
Just walk? Yeah. Walk the city?
Walk the city.
What about you, Kluger? Find an ESPN Sports Zone?
I'd say same thing. I used to work in New York City, so you know, I've been there. But yeah, walking around, going through the park.
Where'd you live when you lived?
I lived in New Jersey, but I commuted into Manhattan for 5 years.
Took the train.
How many fake watches did you buy on Canal Street?
Zero.
Surprises me.
You think I'm that kind of guy?
Well, I used to do that. We used to do that all the time. Go up there and get the fake tags and the fake Rolexes. It lasts like 3 weeks, but it's always fun to do. We used to buy in New York City. I always got a kick out of walking down the street, and they had like all these movies that you could buy. And you could buy them on, I think it was VHS at the time. You're like, dude, yes, look at this. This
movie. The ones where they went into the theater
correct.
And camcordered it.
But when you're 12, you don't know that. You just think this is a bootleg copy of what was a hot movie when we were 12, Ben. I would, you know, buy it, give the guy like
the
20
Goonies.
Bucks. No, that was way before that.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, something that not that was even that came after we were 12. But something that was like out in theaters, you're like, "Oh my god, I can get this on the street, a bootleg." You give the guy 20 bucks. You take it home, you put it in the VCR, and it's him sitting in the theater with a camcorder, and you can hear nothing and see nothing. And, you know, you learn.
But we were 10 when the Goonies came out,
we were
not
10?
12.
Yeah.
But.
So you feel it's like your first lesson into not being a mark. Like, everybody has to go through it, but then you're like, all right, I'm not doing that again. You learn. You live and learn.
So, yeah, there's a a little more to do on an off day in New York City than probably
Cincinnati.
Your standard Cincinnati, St. Louis road trip. Jeremiah Estrada took big time advantage of being in the Big Apple yesterday, though. What did he do? Find out after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Davick.
Traffic is sponsored by Viejas Casino and Resort. Some of you out there are saying, come on, Kelly, give me some good news. Okay, I will. Speeds are starting to pick up now on the Coronado Bridge heading over to the island. Yeah, that police activity wrapped up a little over half an hour ago, and that motorcycle accident in the clearing stage at mid-span. So yeah, improvements there. Still a bit of a backup, though. And heading off the island, you're not going to have any problems. Fortunately, no other incidents or accidents to mention. Cordell and Cordell traffic cam shows even the trip out of Santee, westbound 52, just some minor slowing. The daily jackpots at Viejas Casino and Resort are on fire. Players have hit huge wins with bets as low as 50 cents. Check out their jackpot winning smiles on the Viejas Facebook page. Want to join them? Who knows? The next jackpot winner could be you, Viejas Casino and Resort. I need to get back out there. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Wood, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
And this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair now through July 7th. The magic of the Midway live concerts and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets online. Learn what's happening at sdfair.com. That's sdfair.com. So I think, kind of like Adam, Jeremiah Estrada spent his off day in New York, actually in Secaucus, New Jersey. Isn't that where the MLB Network studios are located?
I thought it was Secaucus.
Secaucus, New Jersey. I thought it was Secaucus.
I thought it was Secaucus. Adam, you tell us.
Secaucus.
Secaucus? Okay. I've always heard Secaucus.
And went to the MLB Tonight set and sat down with the MLB Tonight crew for like a couple of segments. A long interview, sat at the desk. With Pedro and Greg Amsinger and Harold Reynolds were there, just kind of finding out his story, you know, where he came from. Kind of, for most people, including a lot of Padres fans, Jeremiah Estrada is an unknown quantity. Where did this guy come from? Why was he designated for assignment last year and all of a sudden breaking the all-time record for consecutive strikeouts this year? That doesn't usually happen. If a guy has that much talent, the team that he was on before doesn't just let him go.
I mean, especially a team like the Cubs that, you know, what team doesn't need a Jeremiah Estrada on it? It just doesn't make any sense.
So it's a fascinating story. And he's got this this pitch, which he explained to Pedro Martinez in great detail. They went on to their little mini baseball diamond set where they started throwing some pitches to Harold Reynolds and working on the grip with Pedro.
Of the chitter.
The chitter, yeah, the change-up splitter combination with his, it's like a forkball, the thumb's not even on it, and it's the pinky on, and he was trying to show Pedro exactly how to do it. Pedro goes, this feels weird.
It looks impossible to throw, and you cannot believe he throws it for strikes. It is truly, it's like the Vulcan change, but it's different. It's just, I don't get it. I could never do it. I could never throw a splitter. I could never even throw a splitter like in messing around with my buddies. I can't imagine putting them between your middle finger and your ring finger and jamming the ball through there. It was incredible to watch last night.
But he said, even in the studio on a half speed, he said, getting some movement, and Pedro was getting some good movement.
It's nuts. Those guys are freaks,
on the
man.
Chitter.
They're freaks.
So there were a few questions they asked him. And as we have learned, Jeremiah Estrada has always been a big gamer. Big fan of video games and spends a lot of time when he's not on the baseball diamond playing video games. And they actually were fascinated by this. Here's what he had to say about his love of MLB The Show.
Interesting. We're here with Jeremiah Estrada, the setup man of the San Diego Padres, joining us as a special guest in studio tonight on MLB Tonight. You knew that he's a good low ball hitter. Mm-hmm. At what point, and maybe you already did this, when you showed up here in New York, you're taking on the New York Mets this weekend, when do you guys meet and go through what your opposition this weekend, what their tendencies are at the plate? Has that already happened or will it happen tomorrow?
It will happen tomorrow. Usually, you know, of course, like we all have our pitchers meeting and just go over, like, you know, the power parts of like where the hitter is, the hot zones, where that is. But I'm not going to lie. The reason why I know he is a good low ball hitter is because of MLB The Show and because he's one of my favorite cards. Most of my hits and home runs with his card are always on the low pitches. Kid you not?
Wow. I'm telling you. The video game is giving him his intel.
Well.
Yes. That is factual. They play.
Be honest. When you're on the mound, have you ever thought about MLB The Show? Like when you're facing a guy?
No. That, no, like, I won't give it to that.
But. You won't get that deep.
No, never.
We're going to put you on the cover. Keep talking, man.
This is interesting. I'm into
it
this.
It is really okay. Interesting.
But I've heard some guys who use MLB The Show as like, oh, yeah, his hot zone or his cold zones, the low and away heaters or low and away. And like some people will say that. Even my buddies that I play with, you know, they're always like, hey, you're going to face, you know, whoever, Judge this weekend, you know, his cold zones away and the slider. I'm like, okay. And the next thing you know, I went fastball, change of fastball. That was it. And talk I didn't about even know the slider. So I was like, and that's my buddy's favorite player, too.
Talk about so new generational players.
Right? Yeah, but
talk about being young and new generation.
They, well, the thing
that's good, though, that you guys are at least paying attention to the little details. Yeah. And that's one that I wasn't expecting, but hey, great for you.
I think what it does, though, and honestly, this is I've heard this from a lot of ball players that played in the 70s and 80s, and they said one thing that the players of today are missing, it, like all of them, to a man, said after a baseball game, we would play, no matter what team they played for, the Reds, the Phillies, the Pirates, didn't matter. After the game, they would sit their asses in the clubhouse for like an extra 2 hours, and what they would do is they would talk about the game. How did that go?
What and drink beer.
And drink beer and blast heaters and stuff, but if you, they have all said that's something that's missing for the game. I honestly believe that things like this probably helps keep them engaged in baseball a little
sure,
bit.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
and they're talking about the game.
You
at
can
least.
Question. I mean, how accurate it's are the video very. Game hot zones? I mean, but they're based on some reality.
Yeah, of course,
I mean, you know, they have access to the same hot and cold zones the Major League Baseball teams. I would hope the, you know, the Padres' actual analytics are a little more detailed and a little more insightful than just playing a video game. But why not? As the start of your base of knowledge, I've played a guy many times on MLB The Show, and I know at least where the video game says he has trouble hitting pitches. So, you know, guys can't just change their hot zones on a whim. You know, a guy doesn't hit the ball, you know, high and tight very well. You can learn that just based on playing the video game.
Yeah, 100%. So I think I thought that was really interesting. I thought he did a really, really nice job on there last night. He's very personable. What's the other clip you have, Adam?
He talks about just kind of his story about where he's coming
how
from.
How he got here. Yeah. It's pretty fascinating. Whenever you're ready.
He's giving the signal. He wants you to vamp for a second.
I didn't know. I didn't
give
see
him a
signal.
Moment to call up the clip.
So we just wait in silence.
Right.
Can't believe you're doing this to me.
Likewise.
I wouldn't have been able to do this.
Question for you, so here we're going to get into it. What kept him motivated to be better, to better himself after last year? Also want to say, very glad he's a Padre, the way he interacts with the fans shows how much he cares. Okay, that's very nice, Zachary. Thank you. All right, so what is your motivation?
Failure. You know, I think that's the biggest motivation that you could have. You know, of course, last year was a bit of an upset year for me, and, you know, I take failure just extremely, you know, to the heart, you know, and as soon as I fail at something, I want to be better at it. If I'm gonna lose at something, I mean, right now, if I lost in Rocky Pacers, I'll tell you behind stage, hey, let's run it back, I need to win.
Wow.
So, one of those.
What was your path to the big leagues? That comes from, you had some setback, obviously.
Oh yeah, lots of setbacks. You know, drafted 2017, pitched 5 innings that year, and then 2018 came along, getting ready to start the 2018 season, and sprained my UCL. They were like, hey, you're young, so you can miss this year. I was like, okay, you know, I'll rehab it, go on, and then missed an entire year. Didn't even go home because as soon as season ended, I just started the spring training camps or the camps leading to spring training.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2019 was kind of feeling better, then went to Eugene, Oregon, pitched 10 innings.
Go Ducks.
And
just saying.
And then that's when I tore my UCL, and then they kept me there to rehab and to kind of like throw again, and then ended up getting TJ in August, and then
so 2 years gone.
Yeah, 2 years gone, just like that. Then I was locked and loaded. I got a trainer, was ready to, you know, I was just motivated, you know. And then 2020 got canceled. And then 2021 started off in Myrtle Beach, but they had me go a little bit later because that was the year coming off of TJ, and I pitched 7 innings, and then I got COVID, and then after COVID came back in 2022, and I knew I mean, after surviving COVID, what I was meant to do, which is, you know, like, hey, like.
So you had long COVID.
Oh, yeah, that was.
10-day deals.
Oh, no, I was in the hospital. I had every single thing that you could have gotten.
Yeah, you almost
died. The doctor literally told me, he's like, hey, you've gone, like, every stage on what a COVID or a person that has COVID could have gone. The only thing you missed out was death.
Unreal.
It's unbelievable.
So it was a scary moment, you know.
First but, four big league season or minor league season, professional baseball season, he pitched a combined 17 innings. 17 innings in 4 years.
And now I know why.
That's unbelievable.
Actually, wow.
22
innings.
Four seasons, 22 Amazing. Innings, and look at him now. He deserves all the the accolades.
At some point you're thinking, okay, someone's telling me that I shouldn't be a baseball player.
Yeah, man.
After all of that.
Yeah.
And yet he persisted, then got DFA'd by the Cubs after finally, you know, making it, and they didn't want him. And now here he is with the Padres as a rising setup man with a Major League Baseball record and a pretty bright future ahead of him as, you know, potential maybe a closer in the future. You know, if things keep going the way they're going for Jeremiah Estrada.
They were trying to bust his balls, too, when the segment started about Shildt making him walk.
Intentional walk and the streak.
Yeah. And he handled it perfectly. He's like, I mean, Shildt told me to do it. I did it. I don't, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of like what Tatis said. Like, we'll just start a new streak. Like, we'll just run it back. But he didn't really. They wore him out. Every one of those guys was like, why'd you have to do the walk? Why didn't Cease do the walk? And he's just like, it's all right. It's what the manager asked me to do. Seems to be a really good kid, man, and obviously can overcome adversity. What a story. Great story.
Amazing stuff. All right, we'll come back. We'll start the second half with our Cespedes Family Barbecue Friday. Jordan Schusterman will join us. We'll talk about what's going on around Major League Baseball.
He's excited to talk about one Jackson Merrill.
Oh, good. Well, I'm excited always to talk about Jackson Merrill. That is coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.